Discernment is the revelation of what is going on in a particular situation. If you come upon a situation where something is happening, sometimes you don't need wisdom and you don't need the word of knowledge. What you need is discernment.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of part one of The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon. So please open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8 as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon.
The wisdom of Solomon. I wanted to break this down. I spent a lot of time just in meditation yesterday because I want us to be able to understand what it is that God is speaking to our hearts on. So, Brother Jeff, if you would move to that next slide. And three gifts in particular that I think that we need to have some clarity on, because if we don't have clarity on, we may get confused as to what they mean. Last week we talked about discernment. And what is discernment? Discernment is the revelation of what is going on in a particular situation. If you come upon a situation where something is happening, sometimes you don't need wisdom and you don't need the word of knowledge. What you need is discernment. And discernment is that ability to perceive what is going on in a situation. If, you know, we gave the story last week about the guy who sang that song, "I Know I'm Losing You." There's something true. I know it's true. I'm losing you. I can see it in your eyes. I can hear it in your voice. I can feel it in your touch. Well, what was that? That was discernment. The sister was hooked up with somebody else, and she was losing her feeling and affection for him. And so he perceived that this was going on. That is discernment. And God wants us all to have discernment. And so the key word there for discernment is perception. And then there is, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a word of knowledge. And what is a word of knowledge? And, you know, when we look at it and the way we've been studying it, we said there's a conservative view and then there's a charismatic view. So just generally, and we'll break it down more as we study the particular gifts, you know, what is a word of knowledge? The word of knowledge is the ability to know the mind of God in a particular situation. That you need to know, what does God want me to do in this situation? All of us are faced with decisions. We are faced with decisions every day, some difficult, some easy. And so what we need when we come to the point where we face the decision is we need a word of knowledge. We need to know, what is the mind of God in this situation? And so that's what a word of knowledge is. And then we come to what we're going to be looking at today, which is the word of wisdom. And as you look at the word of knowledge, the key word there is revelation. You need the mind of God revealed to you. Whereas in discerning, what you need is perception. In knowledge, in the word of knowledge, you need revelation. And then in the word of wisdom, what you need is the ability to apply the mind of God to that situation. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is, how do I take this knowledge and how do I apply it to the situation? And so the key word for wisdom is the word application. Now, I was thinking that, you know, sometimes, you know, we need wisdom. We need wisdom in a lot of situations. I had read this thing on the sermon preparations that I was doing, and it talked about, you know, what are some signs that you hired the wrong person to cut your grass? What are some signs? You know, how can you exercise wisdom to know that you made a mistake? Well, first of all, he shows up with a pair of nail clippers in a Ziploc bag. You know you hired the wrong guy. You know you hired the wrong guy. He is fascinated by the details of your home security system. You know you hired the wrong guy to come cut your grass. You don't need a lot of wisdom to figure that out. He stops every 5 minutes to smoke the grass clippings. You know you hired the wrong guy. You know you hired. If he stops every 5 minutes, he's rolling up out there in your yard and smoking grass, then you know you hired the wrong guy. The second reason, or the top number two reason that you know that you hired the wrong guy is he comes over to your house, he turns the goat loose, and he says, "I'll be back in 3 weeks." You know you hired the wrong guy. And the number one reason you know that you hired the wrong guy is that he has no toes. You know you hired the wrong guy. Wisdom. You know, sometimes, you know, we need wisdom. We need, you know, the ability to be able to have the insight into a situation and to be able to choose to do the right things. And as I said earlier, all of us come to that place in life. We come to that crossroad where we have to make a decision. There was a study that was done by Carnegie Mellon University. And this study was done shortly after a 19-year-old student was killed getting off of a PAT bus. And the study, actually what it did, it went through the city of Pittsburgh and it named the most dangerous intersections in the city. And there were three downtown and there were three in Oakland. For those of you who may travel, you may want to know this information. So, you know, that's one good thing about, you know, coming to church. You see, you get information other than the Word of God, too. You know, we can help you out in some other ways. But they named three locations downtown that were the six dangerous intersections in the city. The first one is Stanwyck and Forbes. Somebody said amen. I heard that. Liberty Avenue and 6th Street. I got another amen on somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. 6th Avenue and Bigelow Boulevard. All right. And then the next three were in Oakland. And they were Forbes and Moorwood, 5th and Moorwood, and Forbes and Devon Road. So you, if you want this information, I'll leave it up here afterwards so you can come and you can make sure that you understand. But the fact of the matter is, and they proposed how they were going to, some things that can be done to take care of and make them less dangerous. And they made recommendations like putting walk signals in with timers. They made the recommendation of repainting the crosswalks, so I guess so that people could see them. And then they talked about adding new traffic signals. All right. And then one of the councilmen came on, and he talked about the fact that we only got $300,000, and to put a light in costs $100,000, and we're talking about putting six lights in, that's $600,000, so we just don't have the money to go and make these massive revisions at these intersections, these massive changes at the intersection. So why did I say all that? I said all that to say this. Until the changes are made, until the revisions are made, if you find yourself at the crossroads of one of those intersections, you better exercise some wisdom. You better have some wisdom. And you better need to know when you can grow across and when you need to stay still. You need to know when cars are coming in the lanes that you might not time up right to get across, and you might get stuck in the middle of the street. And all of us come to those same crossroads in life. We come to dangerous intersections in our life where sometimes for many of us, it's a matter of life or death. When I'm thinking about whether or not to have that relationship with that married man or that married woman, I'm coming to a dangerous crossroad. And I better have some wisdom. When I come to the intersection where I'm getting ready to change my jobs, I'm upset about something on my job, but I'm getting ready to change jobs, I've come to a dangerous intersection. And what do I need when I come to those dangerous intersections of life? I need wisdom. I need the ability to know what to do and the ability to do it, the application of knowledge to that situation. As we look at the Word of God this morning, and I'm going to ask that you would pull out your notes also, we see the insight of wisdom. The insight of wisdom. And once again, we talked about the conservative insight and the charismatic insight. The conservative insight defines wisdom as the Holy Spirit guided understanding of how to apply the Word of God to a specific situation. So if I, once again, read in the Word where it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, and I'm being tempted to deal with a married woman or a married man, then I need to take the Word of God and apply it to that situation. And when I take the Word of God and apply it to that situation, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so when I obey what that said, because I've taken the Word, I've applied it to that situation, what have I done? I've exercised wisdom. I've exercised wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take the Word of God and apply it to the situation that you're in. Well, what is another definition of wisdom? And this is the more charismatic definition. And this basically is supernatural revelation through the Holy Spirit as to what to do about a particular situation. You see, sometimes there are some gray situations in life. Sometimes the Word of God is not as clear cut about certain things and certain things that we need to do. And we got to make a decision. We got to have wisdom in making that decision. And so what does the charismatic view say? In which, you know, I like this one too. I believe both of them are applicable. So what do we do in this situation? Well, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. And I do like James says. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and doesn't hold back anything. And so I need wisdom. God, I'm dealing with a situation where I have to make a decision. And I'm really not sure what it is I'm supposed to do. I've checked with the Word of God, and I really don't see any clear-cut scripture that apply to this situation. Lord, I need to have your mind. I need to be able to make a decision that you want me to make. And then God gives you that knowledge to be able to make that decision. Well, what has he given you? He has given you a word of wisdom.
We're going to take a break at this time from the message. Do you know anyone that's dealing with addictions? Have you been a part of a broken relationship, or do you know of relationships that are broken? Do you know someone who is giving care to another person, or maybe you yourself are a caregiver? Have you ever wanted to know how to minister to someone dealing with homosexuality? And as we look at our world today, there's crisis situations happening all the time. Do you know how to intervene in a crisis? Well, I just want to let you know, if you fall into any of those situations, your cry has been heard. We are having a biblical counseling conference here at Bethany Baptist Church on April 11th from 8:30 to 4 o'clock. We will be using the Bible to address these issues and help you to understand how you can integrate the scriptures as you minister to people dealing with addiction, broken relationships, people who are caregivers, people who are trying to understand homosexuality, and people who are dealing with a crisis, that we're going to show you how to use the Bible as a layperson to be able to minister to the glory of God. So why don't you come and join us for this biblical counseling conference on April 11th from 8:30 to 4. For more information, you can call 412-246-4463. We look forward to being with you on April 11th. God bless you as you listen to the rest of the broadcast.
And so all of us need wisdom. If you're sitting here today, you need wisdom. Some of you are, like I said, you're at one of those dangerous crossroads in life. You're at one of the top six dangerous crossroads of life. And you need to make a decision. And you need wisdom. And as I think about wisdom, who was one of the greatest men next to Jesus Christ who possessed and exercised wisdom in this earth? And the person I can think of is none other than Solomon. And that's why I said today, to have the wisdom of Solomon. You know, I was thinking, I said, why is it that a lot of young people don't come to some of the elderly today for wisdom? Yeah, and you know, that's the way that it is. And the Bible even says about that the glory of the young man is his strength, and the glory of the old man is his gray hair, is his wisdom. And why is it that, you know, a lot of young people are not coming to the older folks today for wisdom? And you know, we could go through a litany of reasons, and, you know, maybe the young folk, they think, you know, just like the guy that had put up this sign in the post office, it said, brand new set of encyclopedias for sale. Bought it for my teenager for their birthday, but they didn't need it because they already knew everything. So you know, sometimes, you know, you deal with a situation like that where you got a young person that think they know more than you know. And so they figure, well, what can you tell me? But more often than not, you know why I'm coming to the conclusion that a lot of young folk don't want to come to older folk for wisdom? It's because, man, the older people are off the chain, man. They're talking crazy. You know, first thing they want to do when they come and ask for advice, we want to blow them away. We want to tell them all the things that's wrong with them. We want to tell them all that they're doing wrong. And so they just get to the point where, you know, hey, I don't need that. You know, I'm coming because I need some direction. I need some guidance. And every time I come, I just get blown away. And so I think about this as a pastor. You know, why is it that we can't motivate the young people to come to us and ask us some things? And sometimes, you know, we're just too set in our ways. You know, we got ideas and we forget that we were young one day. You know, I know back in the day, you know, I know some of the stuff I was into and I know some of the stuff I was thinking. And, you know, if I'd have went to an older person, you know, I would be looking for some genuine wisdom, for some help, for some advice, for somebody that is going to get alongside with me and share with me in this, that share their heart with me, and not somebody that's going to be critical and condemning. But oftentimes that's what happens. And so we fail to impart wisdom to the younger generation. And as I look at Solomon, the thing that blows me away about Solomon is that Solomon was only 20 years old. Let's look at how bad Solomon was. 1 Kings, turn there. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 3 of 1 Kings chapter 3 says that Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was where the great high place, a thousand burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask, what shall I give thee? What shall I give thee? And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a child. Solomon said, I'm but a child. I know not how to go out or to come in. I just got out of my teenage years. I'm not even a man. Yet I'm in that transition state between teenager and manhood. Wow. This lets us know that you don't have to be an elderly person to get wisdom. This guy was 20 years old. He said, I'm still a child. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, whom thou hast chosen, a great people, who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy great people? And the speech, and we see the wisdom granted, wisdom requested, wisdom granted. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither ask riches for thyself, nor ask thy life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. 20 years old. Somebody get that now. Somebody get that now. 20 years old. So that there was none like thee before thee, and there will be none like that, neither shall any arise like unto thee. Nobody like it before you, and nobody like it after you. Now, you know the thing that just absolutely blows me away? Go back to verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. Your discernment alarm should go off there. Your discernment alarm should go off there. See, once again, we're talking about discernment. What's wrong with this picture? Solomon was going to the high places. The high places were where the heathen worshiped. Discernment. Solomon wasn't where he should have been. But notice now when God blesses him with this wisdom. God blesses him with wisdom. Solomon should have been in the temple, or he should have been going to the priest to get the priest to offer a sacrifice for him. Look what happens when God puts that wisdom on Solomon. Look at verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem. He left Gibeon, and he came to Jerusalem, and he stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and he offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. That's powerful. That's powerful. When Solomon becomes endued with this wisdom, instead of him continuing to offer sacrifices at the high places, he turns around and goes to Jerusalem, and he worships in Jerusalem, a sign that this wisdom of God had been given to him. And Solomon's first test is from two harlots. They come before him. One harlot had a child, or both of them had a child, and one during the course of the evening rolled over and fell asleep on top of her child. And sometime during the night, she woke up and found that her child had died. And so, realizing that there was another lady in the room that had a child, she switched children. And she gave her dead baby to the other one, and she took the living one. In the morning, when the lady whose child was still alive, but she saw her child was dead, she went to the lady and said, you've taken my child. This is not my child. And the other person said, no, this is my child. So they got into a debate. So they bring him to Solomon. And Solomon's trying to figure it out. How do I determine which child it is? And so Solomon pulls out his sword. And he says, since you guys are arguing about the child, the live child, this is what I'll do. I'll take my sword, and I'll cut the child in half, and both of you can have a half. But in his wisdom, Solomon knew that the real mother, the mother that loved that child, would not want that to happen to the child. And so when Solomon took the sword and got ready to cut the child in two, the real mother stood up and said, stop, stop, she can have him. And Solomon said, I know that you are the mother. Wisdom, wisdom. So we see his wisdom begin and act it right away. Man, that God would give us the wisdom of Solomon. You have a family. You work on a job. You're a part of an organization. We all need wisdom in whatever we do. And yet it is, I see that so many people are making decision after decision after decision, and I'm looking at it and I'm saying, man, where have you exercised wisdom in this situation? You ought to know better than that. How in the world did you get caught up in a situation like that? How in the world did you find yourself in that predicament? You didn't exercise wisdom. And then I like what it says about Solomon. Once again, remember, the brother, how old? 40 years old.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part one of The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon, you can contact us here at Anchored in Jesus Radio Program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon, or program number 08072. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.